I pray for an anointing to permeate this meeting, this series, this seminar. Lord, we believe in saturation ministry. Lord, as we bask in Your presence and Your Word, I pray for a saturation effect so that we leave here filled up with Your Spirit more than when we came. Would everyone say this out loud? Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I grant you permission to challenge my thinking,
change my life,
increase my dependency, move me to higher ground
in the things of God.
In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 26 is where we want to begin. And I want you to write this title down. I've got a title that really is a title for the whole series. And then each session will have a title. And as Pastor John said, we'll have six sessions together. The title of the entire seminar, and I encourage you to write this down, is Dependency, What the Devil Wished You Didn't Know. Dependency, What the Devil Wished You Didn't Know. And the title of this particular session is, and write this one down, As Long As He Sought the Lord. As long as he sought the Lord. Say it out loud. As long as he sought the Lord. Dependency. The word dependency means to be influenced or to be controlled by another. The word dependency means trust and reliance. And I can tell you, this is the master key of God's kingdom, and the devil doesn't want you to know about this. Yeah. When we are dependent upon God, and as Martha shared before she ministered with Joanna in song, when we pray, we are declaring our dependency upon the Lord. You know what the church needs? We don't need a declaration of independence. We need a declaration of dependence in every believer's life. And I've discovered in my life, and maybe you've done this, when your back is against the wall. Anybody ever had their back against the wall? Anybody's back against the wall this morning? When your back is against the wall, it's amazing how you'll call out on God. It's amazing how you'll start cutting covenant with God. Oh God, if you'll deliver me, you know I'll go to the uttermost parts. I'll go to that foreign land. Hallelujah. You know, we start making these deals with God. And God comes along and He delivers us. And then all of a sudden we start walking a little prideful, we start walking a little cocky, we're no longer dependent upon God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could stay in a state of dependency all the time? Amen. You know what would happen? Miracles would flow. Because when we cry out to God, what does He do in His mercy? He delivers us. He works on our behalf. His hand goes forth and He begins to move in our life. Why? We're dependent on Him. The problem is we go through these cycles, you know, we go up and down. We're in a cycle of dependency, and then we're in a cycle of, what is the opposite? Self-sufficiency. And we're in a cycle of dependency upon the Lord, then we go to that cycle of self-sufficiency. And God says, I'm looking for a people. And I will tell you, the Holy Spirit is sending out a call, if you're listening, in the Spirit. This is a time where God is placing a call to His people to be dependent all the time upon Him. Now, this passage really hits home on that. Verse 1. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 1. And the title is, As Long As He Sought the Lord. Verse 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, in the place of his father, Amaziah. How many of you would have liked to have been thrust into a kingship at the age of 16? Well, probably everybody, but let me ask you this. How many of you feel like you would have been prepared at age 16 to rule a nation? You know, I look back when I was 16, and of course when you're 16, you know, you're the smartest you'll ever be in life. When you're 16, you know everything. Your parents are idiots, and you're at the pinnacle of intelligence at age 16. And I look back at my life at age 16, and I don't know what my first order would have been as a young king. I order that there will be a Domino's pizza from now on in the palace. I don't know. What do 16-year-old guys want? You know, I decree that I shall have a black Trans Am with a CD player in the trunk. I decree it. You know, I mean, at age 16, that's kind of where you're at. You know, pizza and cars, and that's where you are. Well, this guy at age 16, and the story unfolds, This guy at age 16, I must give this young man great credit. He was smarter at age 16 than most people ever are in their adult age. At age 16, this young boy had extreme wisdom because he was dependent upon the Lord. You see, instead of being cocky at age 16, he turned it around. He said, I'm not prepared to be the king. I don't really know what I'm doing. And so I will go and trust in others who know more than me. And we'll read in a moment. He goes to one of the prophets, Zechariah, and he says, I trust in you. And Zechariah mentored him, discipled him, poured God's life into him. And at 16, he was an excellent ruler for God Almighty. What a story. You young people, you take note of that. Don't ever let anybody despise your youth. At age 16, you can be wiser than most adults if you'll get hold of God. And you'll become dependent upon God. All right, verse 2. Now, he was an interesting guy. He was a builder. And you know, we learn a little bit about his personality as we read through this. Verse 2. He built Eloth, and you'll find all through this story he's a builder. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years. Now, folks, that was a long reign in those days. He reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Jechaliah of Jerusalem. Now, I want you to put a star by verses 4 and 5. I want you to mark verses 4 and 5 in your Bible and perhaps in your notes make a special indication because these are front and center stage verses for our seminar on dependency, what the devil wished you didn't know. Verse 4. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Would you mark that, please? The very first thing that he's complimented for in the Bible is that he did what was right, not in the eyes of his 16-year-old peers. He didn't do what was right in the sight of the pop culture of the day. He did that which was right in the sight of God Almighty. Would everyone say this out loud? O Lord,
O Lord,
I desire
to do right.
In your eyes. Now you see that so often means that you've got to go 180 degrees against the flow. Because the world's going that way and God says, I want you to go this way. The world says drugs and alcohol. God says, no, you're going to get drunk in my spirit. Hallelujah. The world says sex and perversion. God says, no, you're going to keep yourself pure for me and you're going to be one of my special chosen ones from an early age. Are you willing to live like that? Some of you older folks, you say, well, I've messed up. You can start right now and you can, in the Spirit, regain your virginity and your purity and your holiness before God if you'll give Him your life 100%. Verse 4. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah. Now, this is a very important person in his life. I want you to mark this. He sought God. Everybody say, sought God. He wasn't just interested in cars or chariots. You know, back then they didn't have cars. So he was down at the chariot, the new chariot dealership. Do you have the newest chariot in with custom wheels on it? Do you have the electric window chariot? Verse 5. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions or the things of God. And here's where we draw our title from for this session. Please circle this. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Say it out loud. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Say it again. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now we learn a lot from that one phrase. We learn that you must be a God seeker all the days of your life. One of the dangerous tendencies in the body of Christ in our day and time is this. You skip down the aisle, you pray the sinner's prayer, and honey, you're in for life, and then really do what you want to do because you've got fire insurance now. I'm here to tell you that's not Bible. The Bible says that there's really no distinction between salvation and lordship. When you declare Jesus as your Lord, He takes you up on your word, and from that day forward, He considers Himself Lord. Now, you may not consider that in all of your decisions, but God Almighty has heard your cry, and He considers Himself now the master, numero uno, the ruler of your life. And He has the right to take you up on it. There's a dangerous tendency in our culture, and that is this: well, I'll get my fire insurance, and then one day I'll give my heart really over to the Lord. You know, the Bible does not know a doctrine like that. The Bible does know about carnal Christians, Christians who mess up. We know Christians have flesh, Christians sin, but every Christian somewhere has made that decision, Jesus will be my Lord. Everybody say this out loud. Jesus is my Savior
and my Lord.
Well, what does this mean? It means that all through our lives we are to seek God. I'm to seek God about what school to go to. I'm to seek God about what I should purchase. I'm to seek God about the person I should date or the person I should marry. I should seek God about my vocation. It's not like, well, I've got my fire insurance and I do what I want to do. No, the gospel is He is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Now, that's not a popular doctrine. You know why? Because that means you're second fiddle. And if you sense your flesh rising up right now, I got news for you. It's flesh. And there's only one cure for flesh, and that's the fire of God's altar. The fire of God's altar to come down and consume the flesh so that nothing is left other than spirit and what God wants. Are you willing?
Amen.
Are you willing?
Amen.
Did you know that the promise concerning Jesus was that He would be the Spirit baptizer, and it would come with fire? It says, He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Everybody say, and fire.
And fire.
You know why that fire comes with the Spirit? Because there's a lot to get burned up. In every one of us, there's a lot to get burned up. Don't kid yourself. Every one of us have a self-will. Every one of us have desires of our heart that are not really tempered by God's Spirit. And so that fire comes. It's interesting that when Jesus had the Spirit come on Him, fire didn't come. Because there was no fire. There's nothing to burn anything up. He didn't have to have anything burned up. The Spirit came on Him like a dove, but there was no fire. But on the day of Pentecost, it says the Spirit came like tongues of fire because there was a whole lot to burn up in those boys up there in the upper room. Hallelujah. You get anything out of this?
Amen.
As long as He sought the Lord. Say it. As long
as He sought the Lord.
Well, now that tells me something. That tells me that it's God's will for you to prosper. As long as He sought the Lord, God made Him to prosper. I'm so glad my Bible doesn't say, as long as He sought the Lord, He was defeated. I mean, who would want to follow that? We've got good news. Follow God and you'll be defeated all the days of your life. Now come forward. Nobody wants to come forward for that.
Amen.
But as long as he sought the Lord, God made him. I'm telling you what, God will make you prosperous.
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
God will give you business.
Yes.
When you need business, God will give you more business than you can get to. God will put money in your pocket. Now I want you to write this in your notes. Prosperity starts on the inside. I want you to put that in your notes. Prosperity really has nothing to do with dollars, because you go to another country and they don't use dollars, they use something else. Prosperity starts on the inside. That means that you can have absolutely nothing. Today you might be sitting here and owing more than you've got. Maybe you owe more than your assets are worth. And you say, well, I'm not prosperous. Oh, don't cut yourself short. If you are seeking after God with all your heart, the Bible declares that you're a prosperous person.
Amen.
And it's just a matter of time until the outside will start lining up with what's on the inside. But prosperity starts when you make a decision inside, I am going to seek God. When you make that decision, I'm going to seek God, and I don't just mean a one-time event as we've alluded to. I'm going to be a God seeker. I'm going to be a God seeker all the days of my life. I'm going to seek God about this decision. I'm going to seek God about that decision. Guess what? You are walking on the pathway to prosperity. Now, prosperity starts on the inside, but where does it start? It starts in the spirit. Now, I want you to, everybody say, I see.
By faith.
Your chalkboard. Okay, I've got a chalkboard up here, and I just want you to see that. I want you to draw this in your notes. I want you to draw a square box. Just draw a little square box in your notes and divide the box into three sections. Three sections. The lowest section, I want you to label spirit, because prosperity starts in the spirit. But the level above spirit, are you with me? Is everybody with me on my chalkboard? You've got a box. You divided the box into three levels. The bottom is the spirit. The middle is the mind, which would be the soul, mind, will, and emotions. And then the top part would be body. God wants you to prosper in every one of those areas. God wants you to prosper spiritually. God wants you to prosper mentally and emotionally. You know, it doesn't help you if you got a whole lot of money, but you're in a mental war. Hello. You know, and we chuckle about that. I had a guy pick me up on an island. I had a meeting some years ago, and I won't tell which island it was because I don't want to hurt the person's feelings. I believe they've come to the Lord. Amen. But I had a guy pick me up on an island where the rich and famous party. They invited me to go preach on this island. I said, let me pray about it. Okay, I prayed about it. I'm coming. Hallelujah. It was a real nice island, you know. And so this guy picks me up, and he's driving the finest car money can buy. He's living in the finest home money can buy. He's living on an island, folks, an island in the ocean, an island. And I mean, God, you know, the blessings are there. But before we ever got to where we were going, he pulls the car over and he begins to weep and cry because he's so mentally tormented and in anguish. He owed so much money and the IRS was after him and he had lawsuits. I'm here to tell you, everything's not as it appears. And so before you start envying somebody driving down the road in a top-of-the-line Lexus or whatever, boy, I wish I could be like them. Maybe you wouldn't want to be like them. Prosperity starts in the spirit. And then God says, then I want you to be prospered in your mind. I want you to think right. I want you to feel right. And I want you to decide right. So there's spiritual prosperity. There's soulish prosperity. Yes, there's physical prosperity. God wants your body to be healed. I'm claiming mine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God wants to put money in your billfold and your purse. Hopefully not both. You're not carrying both. If you are, we'll cast them out of you at the end of the meeting. God wants to put money in your pocket. God wants you to pay your bills. God wants you to live in a nice home. Don't give me this stuff that, you know, to be poor is to be somehow better. To be have less is best. I've been all over the world. You can't pull the wool over my eyes. I've been into India. I've been into these third world nations where the people have nothing. They're living on dirt floors. And I'll tell you this, those parents don't want to live that way. They don't want their children being exposed to that kind of disease-ridden environment. Verse 5, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Well, let's turn that around. Somebody help me preach. If you quit seeking the Lord, what is implied there? You're going downhill. As soon as you stop seeking the Lord, you're going downhill. As long, seek God in this, or is God compartmentalized over to Sunday or Wednesday or a home group or a place where they sing my special song, Jehovah Jireh? Oh, yes, hallelujah. And that's when you sense the anointing. Can you sense the anointing when you're having to make a decision about a relationship? Can you sense the anointing when you're having to make a business decision? Are you willing to put it on the altar and let God direct your steps? If you can cross that bridge, my friend, you are well on your way to God's prosperity. Because as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. I look back now and it's almost humorous. I think, what did I ever fear? Everyone say this out loud. I will not fear the will of God. The will of God
is good.
My God
has my success,
my prosperity in mind. I will not fear to put anything on God's altar. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, follow me beginning with verse 6. I'm going to kind of hop around. And I just want you to mark some of these key phrases. It says, He went forth and warred against the Philistines. I want you to mark that. God will help you in your battles. Verse 7, And God helped him. Please circle that. God helped him against the Philistines. Did you know that as you are a God seeker, God will help you? Does it mean that you'll do everything right? God knows I have not done everything right. I have made mistakes in my life. I've made mistakes in ministry decisions. But at least I've been out there walking on the water. Thank you very much. You know, there's a lot of disciples that just sit in the boat. Well, look at there. Peter's about to drown. He's going down for the third time. I wonder if he can make it back to the boat. Well, Turkey, jump out of the boat and help him back in there. Amen. At least the guy's out on the water. And Jesus is there to rescue you when you call out to Him. Verse 7. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians. Hey, watch out for those Arabians. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Mark this. And the Ammonites gave gifts or paid tribute to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad. I want you to mark that. For he strengthened himself exceedingly. All these are wonderful benefits that I see when you seek God. God will cause your name to be known where it needs to be known. I'm telling you what, sometimes getting the right job is not just how good your resume looks, it's who you know.
Right.
Or it's whether your resume ended up on the top of the pile or the bottom of the pile. God will help you in this way. God will cause people to give to you. Verse 9, mark this, He built towers in Jerusalem. Verse 10, He built towers in the deserts. Verse 11, Uzziah had a host of fighting men. How many of you need some companions of faith to stand with you? Well, that's the reason you need to be a member of a good church like this. Be a member of a good Word church so that you're not out there alone. You've got some people that will pray with you and pull with you. When you got a problem, you've got somebody you can go to and say, you know what, I've got this guy on my job that I just can't love. I'm sorry, I know I'm supposed to love him, but I can't love him. I know y'all love everybody though, don't you? Y'all have arrived. You're walking in the love walk the entire time. I know that you're saints. Watch it. Your halo has just dropped. Oh, there's times we get around people we don't like. Of course, Christians don't hate anybody. Don't hate anybody. Just don't want to be near Him. God says, I'll come along and I'll help you have my love for that person. When your love has gone out the window, my love can come in. I know what I'm talking about. My daddy was an alcoholic. My daddy was a chain-smoking alcoholic. And I lived with him. If you've ever been in a car with somebody who's a chain smoker, you're about to die. And I can remember there was times I hated all the things about my dad. I didn't have any love. And I went to God. God filled me up with His love. I led my daddy to the Lord, and he walked with Jesus for 20 years. Hallelujah. Got delivered from alcohol and delivered from cigarettes. God can deliver the most hardcore. In fact, God likes hardcore. You know why? When He gets them turned around, they get hardcore for Him. They're not just little, you know, nice Christian pew warmers. Man, they're ready to go down and attack their friends, you know. Amen. Praise God. Go to verse 13. Look at this. He had 307,000 and 500 mighty men. Now, verse 15 is an extremely interesting verse to me. Put a little star by verse 15. We're still talking about the guy who, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to what?
Prosper.
Well, three of you knew it. God made him to what?
Prosper.
God made him to what?
Prosper.
All right. He made him to prosper. Verse 15. And look at this. And he made in Jerusalem machines or engines or inventions by cunning men, to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones. Now, you know, we take that for granted. I mean, we're used to F-16s flying around. Back then, a contraption that could shoot multiple arrows was a great asset. Hey, forget the little bow and arrow deal. We got multiple warhead shooters. And I mean, this was the talk of the land. Ooh, don't go down. Ooh, don't go down and mess with Uzziah. He's got, I don't know what they got. They got some kind of a deal. They pull it back and there's ropes all twisted around. And when they let that thing go, The sky fills up with arrows. Don't mess with him. Make war on somebody else. Look what else it says. It says his name spread far abroad. It also says there he had inventions to hurl great stones. We're talking boulder slingers. Hallelujah. The rest of the nations are still running around doing this job. They got their little slingshots. Remember the David and Goliath slingshot type deal? They're still running around like this. Not Uzziah. Uzziah's got this deal that shoots boulders. He's got this deal that they can load up about 50 big stones and boom, here they come all at once. I mean, you're a foot soldier and all of a sudden, is it getting nighttime? Why is it dark all of a sudden? Just look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Here they come, arrows and boulders. Boom, boom, boom. And I mean, the whole group is destroyed at one time. Now, that's God's will. God wants you to destroy the enemy. Can you see that?
Yes.
Now, read the rest of this verse. Because it tells us something about when you are a God seeker. And I'll tell you, in today's environment, everything is instantaneous. Now look at me. I know that legally, positionally, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. I know legally, positionally, all the inheritance of God is mine. But that should not take the fire and the passion out of our heart to press in and get the reality of it. And that is what I'm after. We need a generation of Christians who are eager to seek God and press in. And they're not satisfied with just the theory. They want the experience. They're not satisfied with just, you know, the promised land over yonder. They want to go in and taste the grapes. Hallelujah. Now watch this. His name spread far abroad. Underline this. For he was marvelously... Or I'd like to just kind of paraphrase that. He was miraculously, supernatural. This was beyond normal. God was involved in this. He was marvelously helped until he was strong. Everyone say this out loud.
God's will
is for me to be strong. Now see, up to this point, he's doing all right. And I wish I could report to you that's the end of the story. I wish I could tell you that all the days of Uzziah... As long as they sought the Lord, God made him pray. He just kept seeking God, pressing in. You know what would have happened? God would have helped him more. He would have continued to expand. More cities, more buildings, more armies. Strength of Israel. God wants you to be strong. God does not get any delight in you being defeated.
Yeah, that's right.
He'll help you. But he isn't. It's like a father. I have no desire for my children other than good.
Yeah. Right.
If you're a decent parent... You want your children really to have better than you had. Isn't that right? Well, our God says, I want you to keep going from glory to glory, strength to strength, victory to victory, faith to faith. That's our God. What's our job? Continue seeking Him. Continue putting it on the altar. Continue asking God for His direction and His blessing. If we'll do that, if we stay desperate for God, if we stay desperate and hungry for God, are you hungry?
Amen.
Are you hungry for God? The best thing, if you sit there and you say, well, I'm not really that hungry, the best thing you can do is say, God, I'm not that hungry, but I know I should be. Help me to be hungry, Lord.
Yeah.
Every one of us at times have been in these complacency, apathy places in our life where we don't sense that stirring. The best thing you can do, you're not tricking God. You're not tricking God to come in there and say, I'm really hungry. He can look right into your heart and say, no, you're apathetic. That's why you're pathetic. And I want you to be strong. I want to strengthen you. I want you to prosper spiritually, mentally, physically. I want you to be blessed. But you've got to seek me and get me involved in this. Now look at the next verse. It's sad. It's so sad. And this could be echoed. We all know of great preachers in our generation who have fallen. We've seen it. We've seen it before us on CNN. We know of the President of the United States at this time in our life, and I pray for him. I don't say this in any judgmental fashion. Because listen, folks, where sin abounds, grace what?
Abounds.
It would just, I tell you what, it would shock most Christian socks right off of their feet. Wouldn't it be something if President Clinton became a Bible-believing, devil-stomping, tongue-talking, saved man? Hallelujah.
I believe.
What, would you let him preach in your church?
I better know.
There's a lot of people be scared of him, just like they were scared of Paul, you know. They weren't sure about Paul. They didn't want him to come at first. I'm telling you, God, He loves to go after the hardcore types. He loves to go after the ones that everybody else has given up on, everybody else is whispering about, everybody's talking about. You don't underestimate the power of God. Verse 16. But when he was strong, here comes the sin. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his what?
Destruction.
To his what?
Destruction.
Now I want you to compare the word destruction. Go back to verse 5. As long as they sought the Lord, God made him to what? Now you see, the devil doesn't want you to know what I'm teaching. And there's some churches, I will tell you this, there are some churches that would not like this teaching. I'm teaching a little bit different than my usual style. My style is kind of, you know, do this, do that, and you get the victory. I'm after your heart during this seminar.
Amen.
And that's something that Jason Peebles, I can't, you know, crawl in your skin and get to your heart. I am trusting the Holy Spirit to go beyond what my words, I know they fail and they pale to do what I want them to do, but by the power of the Spirit, they can go out and accomplish that. And stir you up so that you become a hungry Christian, a Christian who's hungry and thirsty for the kingdom of God. If you're hungry and thirsty, you're going to be filled. If you're hungry and thirsty, you're going to be filled. But I want you to compare that. It says, but when he was strong. And isn't that sad that some people can't handle the blessings? I said, some people can't handle the blessings. God wants to give them to you. God wants to bless you. But it destroys some people. That's not God's plan. God wants you to be marvelously helped until you're strong. God wants you to walk in the strength. But some people, they get on that cycle. They're no longer dependent upon God. And this is what the devil does not want you to know. The devil does not want you to know that if you will continue to seek God, there's no way that you can fail.
Hallelujah.
The devil doesn't want you to know that as long as you seek the Lord, you will prosper. The devil wants your heart to be lifted up. That is a King James way of saying pride. Somewhere, I don't know when it happened, but one day Uzziah walked out on the ramps where his contraptions were, his machines, his inventions by cunning men. And the thought ran through his mind, you're the only guy with multiple warhead shooters. You're the only guy. You're the only guy in town, the only cat in town with boulder slingers. And all of a sudden he's walking a little bit different. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's kind of like, have you ever had $20 in your pocket when you walk into McDonald's? You just walk in a little more confident, don't you? Go ahead, supersize it. Do that. Go ahead, supersize it. See if it affects me. It's amazing. You put 20 bucks in somebody's pocket and they just act a little different. Think a little bit different. Can you get a hold that God wants to put millions of dollars through the hands of His people?
Hallelujah.
God wants to give properties, buildings, machinery. It's like Joyce Meyer. I just heard Joyce Meyer say this and it's so true. She said, the gospel's free, but the pipeline's real expensive.
Come on.
That's true. You can't buy salvation. Salvation is free. The message is free. But the pipeline to get it to the people costs some bucks, honey. And I know what I'm talking about. Those of us from my office, we know that. We help missionaries. And there's not one of our missionaries that doesn't have some dream in their heart. There's not one missionary that we help. See, our office is headquarters for around 50 families or so. There's not one of those missionaries that doesn't have a dream in their heart. And every one of those dreams, whether it's a medical clinic, or whether it's a crusade ministry, some of them work in Bible schools, different variety of outreaches. Some of them have a ministry that you probably wouldn't be interested in. Some of them dig wells to help people get water in villages. You say, well, I don't have a heart for that. Thank God, God put it in their heart.
Yes, that's right.
And then the people get water, and then they'll listen to this person share Christ, and they tie that in. But you know, every one of those missionaries, it takes some bucks to do what they're called to do.
Right.
The problem is when God begins to give a little degree of blessing, so often we are no longer dependent on the Lord and we walk in that self-sufficiency. We must learn from these stories. Why are these stories here? Well, Brother Jason, you're preaching out of the Old Testament. I want to tell you the things that were written in the Old Testament are so we don't have to go back and repeat them. Look at it. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. May I just say this to you? Why don't you just keep doing what you're called to do and don't try to do somebody else's job? He got so cocky, he said, I can do what the priests do. I don't even need the priest. You better watch your mouth. You say, well, wonder what happened to him. Well, it's not a pretty picture. And I didn't write the book, so don't get mad at me. Go to verse 19. When Uzziah was angry and had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was angry with who?
The priest.
Somebody help me preach. Look at verse 19. When he was angry with who?
The priest.
With who?
The priest.
You better not get mad at the preacher.
That's right.
I'm not just trying to be cute.
That's true.
One of the worst things you can do is speak or touch one of God's anointed. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, missionaries, folks that God has anointed and called and raised up, are they perfect? Absolutely not. Do they ever make mistakes? Positively, yes. But they are God's chosen. And you become angry with them, you are angry with God. You touch them and you touch God. And repercussions will happen. Aren't you glad we don't live in the old covenant where the earth opened up and swallowed people?
Yeah.
Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Aren't you glad we don't live in the old day where leprosy would come on your body when you got angry? Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I tell you what Jesus has done on the cross for us is far beyond what we've ever thought of. I'm telling you what, all of us have deserved every one of these things.
Right.
Don't think you have it. You deserve hell. You don't deserve heaven. Look at this verse. He was angry with the priests. Leprosy rose up on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. They had the anointing on their forehead. He got leprosy on his forehead. And I'm going to just pause here for a moment because I'm being prompted by the Holy Ghost. I'm moving in the Spirit. If you have had anger in your heart towards the pastoral staff here, if you've had anger in your heart towards a minister from your past of any denomination, if you have talked ill about somebody on TV and made fun of a minister of God on TV or the way they look or a speech impediment or something about their person that you don't like, you need to repent and ask God to forgive you. Because I will tell you this, you will not find the prosperity of God if you regard sin in your heart. I would not be a good minister to stand up here and tell you otherwise. And I'm talking to myself. Because I'll tell you, just because you're a preacher doesn't mean you get to preach this. There's a lot of preachers I quite honestly don't like. But I got to love them. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes. We hear you.
Let's just pause. Let's just pause for a moment. The people that get to listen to this by cassette tape, I'm asking them to do the same thing. I want you to bow your heads right now. And ask the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind anybody that you've talked about that's in the ministry or a worker in a church that you've had aught against. And I want you right now to release them. There's wonderful blessings in release. I want you to release them. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to forgive you for talking or thinking about them in a way that's not becoming a saint of God. Say, God, please forgive me. I bless them. I thank you for them. I'd probably do things different. I don't agree with everything they say, but I know they're out there trying. And Lord, I want them to succeed. I want them to succeed. I don't want them to fail. I want them to make it with you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Now, go with me quickly to Psalms. I want to go to Psalm 63. Are you learning something?
Amen.
As long as he sought the Lord. Psalm 63. The title of this whole series, as I said, is Dependency. Meaning dependency on God. Dependency. What the devil wished you didn't know. Because the devil knows that if you find this out, and if you start living in a perpetual state of dependency upon God, It's impossible for him to defeat you. It's a guarantee. An absolute guarantee that the blessings of God will come upon you. Because just as surely as the branch that is attached to the vine pulls the same sap and living substance, so the same living substance will course through your life when you are in a dependent state upon God. Psalm 63, I want to look at this. And I want you to see the heart of David. The heart of David. Verse 1. O God, Thou art my God. Occasionally I will seek Thee. Oh, I'm sorry. I read that wrong. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. Would you look at this? My soul thirsteth for Thee. Mark that. My soul thirsteth for Thee. You wonder where Jesus got, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee. Have you ever just longed for something in the flesh? I'm telling you what, every one of us in this room, there's been times you've been physically hungry. I mean, you just get to the point, it's like it's way past lunchtime and you're just physically hungry. There's times that I've been, I tell you, just my very being wants to be with Martha. I can remember some of those long overseas trips. I mean, when you're gone 2 or 3 weeks away from your spouse, man, you just want to be together. You'd give any amount of money just to be able to sit out and talk and share a meal together, not be in a little old dirty hotel somewhere waiting for your next crusade meeting. You just want to be with them. Can you relate?
Yeah.
David says, I just want to be with you that way. He says, to see Thy power and Thy glory. I want you to mark the word power and glory. There's nothing wrong with wanting to see the power of God in the hand of God. Yes, we need His glory, which is His presence, but whenever you get God's glory, which is His presence, you are going to get the power. He says, I want to see Your power and Your glory in the sanctuary. Go to verse 8 for the sake of time. Hop over to verse 8. He says, my soul followeth hard after Thee. Isn't that a great picture? My soul followeth hard after Thee. I want to read this from the Amplified. Listen from the Amplified. He says, my whole being follows hard after You and clings closely to You. Your right hand upholds me. Do you want to know what the key to David's success was? He was a man who was hungry after God. When did he fail? When he decided he didn't need God and he thought he'd stay home from the battle and walk out on the balcony and see who was taking a bath that night. Why? I wonder who's taking a bath. Oh, it's Bathsheba. And there's nothing wrong with seeing. You're going to see things in life. But when you choose to dwell on something, there's where the sin is. He could have walked out on that balcony. He could have looked down there and gone, oh my God, there's a woman taking a bath. He should have walked back in. It is time to write another psalm. Hallelujah. Jesus, help me. That's what he should have done and pulled his curtains to. Instead of going, yee-hoo, Bathsheba. Good to see you. Would you like to come up for appetizers? Go with me to Deuteronomy 8. You learn anything?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to see things in life. You can't go to school without hearing words. You can't live in this world without seeing and hearing corruptible things. But you can certainly choose to walk away, draw the curtains, turn the radio off, flip the TV channel. You can choose to do that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Dependency. Dependency. I realize I'm going a little longer than usual, but I didn't get started till probably 20 till 12. So just hang with me about 10 more minutes. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. What a chapter. Verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in. I want you to circle this. Why? To go in and possess the land. Did you realize that God has a promised land for you to possess? And I'm not just talking about the land over in Israel. I'm talking a spiritual heritage that all the believers of God have and are entitled to. Furthermore, Pastor John has a specific land to possess that perhaps Jason doesn't. So I'm talking about the will of God. How many of you want to possess God's perfect will for your life? We just got through telling you, obey God, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now I want you to mark this, because this cuts against the grain of some modern theology today. God led you in the wilderness, mark this, to humble you, to prove you, or test you, to know what is in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or not. And He humbled thee, and suffered thee, circle it, to what? To hunger. God says hunger allows you to realize your dependency on Me. Did you follow me? When a man or a woman has their back against the wall, hopefully that their response will be, I choose to depend on God. He suffered thee to hunger, and He fed thee with manna. He even takes care of you when you're hungering, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee to know, circle this, mark it, that man doth not live by bread only. Here's what we're to live by. Here's that dependency. But every word which proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. My life sustenance is not what this world offers. My life sustenance is what God speaks.
Amen.
Now, here's what I believe the gist of this is. I don't believe, and if you disagree, then praise God, we'll sit next to each other in heaven and get it worked out. Amen? I don't believe this text should be construed to mean that God is up there orchestrating, conniving little plans to trip you up. See, God is a Father. Everybody say a Father. That's one of the ways we see God. He is Father. All right, I'm a Father. I look at Ryan, and I get to preach to him because they're here on the front row. I look at Ryan and I look at Joanna. They're my children. What do I want for them? I want them to possess the promised land. I mean, there's nothing more important than me. This ministry does not even tempt me compared to what I want for my children.
Yeah.
But I do not orchestrate circumstances to try to trip them up. But what I do is I watch them in their challenges. Parents, are you hearing me? You know you do this with your children because every child is different. I watch my children in the different circumstances that they face, and that tells me how much I can entrust to them with regards to their desires and their freedom. One child might respond one way that pleases me, and that I know there's a mark of maturity there, and so they will be granted more to be given before the other child, because that other child has not yet responded properly. Are you hearing this? So in that sense, there is a test or a proving ground, but God is not up there trying to hurt you or trip you up and orchestrating events to somehow cause you to fail. Now read on. Read on. He says in verse 4, follow me because I'm going to go very fast. I'm going to skip around. Verse 4. Thy raiment or thy clothing did not get old, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. That's amazing, folks. I can just go shopping for one day and my foot, you know, you better watch out, your feet might swell. Hallelujah. How many of you men just love to go shopping with your wives? Hallelujah, Christmas. Right. You just say, honey, I think I'll stay home and intercede. Amen. Look at verse 5. Verse 5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son. I want you to mark that, parents. As a man chasteneth his son, or I prefer the word trains. That doesn't mean just whip them. Did you know that you can spank, but that you have not taught anything?
Right.
You've got to teach them. You've got to instruct them. So I prefer the word trains there. I think that's the same meaning. As a man trains his son or his daughter, so the Lord thy God trains you. Verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of waters, fountains, depths, valleys, and hills. Go down to verse 9. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything. How many of you are ready for that realm where you're not going to lack anything? I will tell you this. God has spoken to my heart that it's time for my ministry. Our ministry is on the verge of a new phase. And I say this with some of our staff people here. Our ministry is on the verge of a new stage where we're no longer living on manna provision. We are now in a land without scarceness with superabundance.
Amen.
I mean, manna's fine. But you can only do so much with manna. Manna cakes. Manna smoothies, you know, manna burgers, manna. I mean, it's just like we've had enough of this banana manna stuff. We're ready for bread without scarceness. But here's the warning, and I want to finish with this, verse 10 and 11. Don't miss this. When thou hast eaten and art full, in other words, you get into that land without scarceness, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. In other words, get excited about it, but be sure you praise God. Beware. Circle that in verse 11. This is my message this morning. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes. Verse 12. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply. See, God wants to do that. God wants to multiply your stuff. Everybody say my stuff. God wants to multiply your stuff. Verse 13. When your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, beware that thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Who led thee? Verse 16. Who fed thee? Verse 17. And you say, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. And here's the classic verse, verse 18. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. That is God's message for the hour. As long as he sought the Lord. Now you can fold up your Bibles, and I'm going to finish with this short story. I was in Mexico some years ago. That's about as far as I will identify it. I was invited to speak at a conference in a church that was a supernatural church. Can you imagine this? A guy walked into Mexico City. He walked into Mexico City, and in less than 1 year, Pastor John, you'll be able to relate to this, in less than 1 year, had purchased a facility that would seat thousands, had it packed out with thousands, had a full-blown church established in less than a year. Is that supernatural?
Yeah.
Folks, that's supernatural.
Oh, yeah.
And I was invited to be one of the guest speakers at their first annual shindig deal. And so I'm up on the platform, and of course this is all happening in Spanish, and I know a little bit of Spanish, but I've got a translator, and so I'm keeping up with the thing. And I mean, this guy was anointed. We're talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit coming out. He has pores. He called this one lady up, and he turned around because he was bilingual, and he spoke to me, said, we're going to cast some devils out of this lady. And, you know, I'm just up there on the platform with the other speakers, just kind of like, you know. He said, now y'all start saying the name Jesus. I was like, okay. I mean, it seemed kind of weird, you know, just, okay, Jesus. He said, no, start saying Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I'm like, okay, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And he says in Spanish, he cast the devils out of this lady. When he cast the devils out of this lady, I mean, this blood-curdling scream came up. I mean, the hair on the back of my back stood up. And I went, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I got into it then, you know what I'm saying? This lady, and I'm not trying to upset anybody before lunch, before we dismiss here in just a moment. I mean, she threw up several times. It was just, the devil's not pretty. The devil is not something you want to show up on a Sunday morning dedication service. He cast the devil out of this lady. He took this one cripple guy. And she got delivered. There was this one cripple guy. They drug up on the platform. He not only was his body twisted, he couldn't stand. He couldn't even stand. And this guy was so bold. I mean, this guy would go up and just slap him on the head, you know, typical evangelist style. And he began to speak healing, but instead of just take it by faith, he said, "Let him go." And the guy fell down into a pile of skin and bones. And I'm standing up there going, "Oh my God, you know, am I covered for this? Do we have liability insurance?" You know, I mean, sometimes you know too much. You know what I'm saying? And so, no, we're in Mexico. That's right. It doesn't matter what happens. Hallelujah. Praise God, you know. And so, I'm just being honest with you. Things like that run through your head, you know. He said, "Pick him up again." They picked him up again. He commanded him to be healed. Let him go. He fell down again. By this time, the mercy part of me, I'm like, "Oh man, this guy's going to need inner healing. You know, we're talking rejection. He'll never come back to church, you know." This evangelist grabbed him by the back of the shirt, drug him. "Be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed." Dragging him around the stage. Now I'm going like this. "Man, this is abuse, man. This is abuse." You know. I mean, that's kind of run through my mind, you know. The power of God hit that crippled man. He stood up on his feet. Now, I was there, folks. This is not something I heard somebody tell me that knew from somebody else. I was there with my own two eyeballs. This guy, his body began to straighten. He stood up, instantly healed, like you read about in the Bible. Instantly healed. All of a sudden, I was like, "Hallelujah, we did it. Praise God. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah." The faith of God's people. Yes. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Now, why am I telling you this story? Supernatural church, supernatural signs and wonders. I mean, it was something to be there. But there was little red flags that kept going off in my heart about this individual. During the time where everybody would greet one another, it bothered me. I noticed he would only go greet the pretty ladies. There was something not right in his heart about what I've been teaching on as long as he sought the Lord. This guy was married, had a beautiful family. He had several children. To make a long story short, before the second one ever came around, he had left his wife of many years. And he, at that time, he was probably 35, I'm guessing 38, something like that. Ran off with an 18-year-old girl. And here's the crazy thing, and you better listen to me. You better listen to me. In every area of your life, you better watch out who you hook up with. And when those little red flags start going off, and Pastor John, you listen. When people come to you and they tell you how spiritual they are and that, you know, they're your right-hand man and this and that and the other, you be sensitive to the little red flags. Yep. Little red flags. The way he dealt with money. I walked in his office and he had bags of money laying on the floor. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, a lot of people can have a lot of money at the offerings. And he said, "Oh, that's just some of the offerings I keep for whatever I want." Oh, that grieved my heart so bad when he said that. And my staff knows this. I don't bring the money back and spend it on myself. Every offering I ever get, it goes right into the ministry. I get a salary. Thank God. I want to get paid just like you do. Amen. But you treat the offerings of God as they are. They are hallowed unto God. It grieved my spirit. Before that next celebration came around, he had run off, left his wife. And the crazy thing is, he went, I say down the street, across the city, started another church, and a couple hundred people followed him. Hello, loser! If you hook yourself up with somebody like that, you just deserve to get what you get.
Absolutely.
You need to stay around people that are hungry after God. You need to hang around people. No, they're not perfect, but these are people that are hungry after God, and they're not deceptive people in a state of denial. You say, "Well, how could the gifts..." I don't understand, Brother Jason. How could the gifts... The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance.
That's right.
I mean, if God had to wait until we got perfect before He gave us anything, would we ever get anything?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
No.
The people under His ministry that were saved, thank God they got saved. The people under his ministry that got healed, thank God they got healed. But he ended up in destruction, destroyed his own family, ruined that young girl's life, and the people that followed him were now under a cloak of deception. That is a modern day example of what we just read about Uzziah.
Yeah, that's right.
As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now don't just pick on preachers. I know business people that have cried out to God, God, would you anoint me to make money and I will give you your portion. And God raises them up and they turn their back on God later. Athletes that God has raised up to be fine testimonies to the young people, and they turn their back on God when they get to the place that God elevated them to.
Yeah.
Have you learned anything?
Yes, I did.
Thank you, Jesus. Stand to your feet. Dana, I'm going to ask you and the worship team to come back. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you that we are on a course in this seminar that will take us to a destiny known as dependency. I thank you that we are headed towards a place of greater dependency on you. That the battle cry of our heart would be, I want to seek God all the days of my life. We want to be like Uzziah in his early years. We want to be like David in his early years. We don't want to lose the fire, the fresh fire of passion for you. We want to be hungry and thirsty for God Almighty. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Dana, just select a song from your list that's worshipful. I want to go back to a worshipful song. But I want to ask you this while your head is bowed. Have you been in a state of dependency? Have you been in a place of self-sufficiency? Do you need a greater hunger, a greater thirst for God? Ask yourself that question. Let's sing. Lead us in a song. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you have a desire for greater hunger in your life, I want you to come forward right now and stand here. Only come if you really mean business, because God's going to take you up on it. If you say, I need a new level of hunger, I need a new level of thirst, I want to be a hungry Christian, I want to be a thirsty Christian, would you just come and group up here across the front? Husbands and wives, you may want to catch your hand and come together. Young people, I'm talking to you. I'm going to ask God to pour out salt on you, make you thirsty, to make you hungry. Quickly come up. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands to God. Begin to receive right now. Thank you, Lord. You want to be hungry. You want to be thirsty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just keep playing that. Father, I thank you right now for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of fire to come upon everyone that's come forward. Begin to thank God verbally for it right now. Begin to ask God. Don't be afraid of it. Ask God for His fire. Ask God for His fire. Ask God for the salt of the Spirit. Salt. To make you salt so that you make others thirsty. When you're around others, you make them thirsty. Father, I thank you right now for that hunger and that thirst being imparted to your people. Lord, I pray that there would be a greater level of dependency upon you. Lord, that we would be like Uzziah. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, some of you are facing decisions right now. I want you to give it to God right now. Say, God, I give you the financial decision. I give you that relationship. Some of you may need to give God a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Give it to God right now. Give it to God right now. Ask God for His best, His way. Ask God for the right job. Ask God for His direction in these decisions that are confronting you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, do your work. Holy Spirit, do your work right now. I want everyone to say this out loud. Holy Spirit, I ask for a greater hunger.
I
want to be thirsty.
I
want to be fired up.
I
don't want to lose my first love.
I
want to recapture
the passion
of pursuing you. I'm in love with you, Jesus. There's nothing in this world that captivates my heart other than you. I want your best. I want your land. I want your will for my life, spiritually, mentally, physically, in every way. Please forgive me, Lord.
Please forgive me, Lord,
for flirting with the world. Please forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord, for following the ways of the world. In Jesus' name. Now I want you to repent right where you're standing. If there's any area that you need to repent of, do it right now. Maybe the wrong kind of music, overdosing on TV, videoaholics. You know, we pick on people that are alcoholics. We got Christians that are videoaholics, rockaholics. Ask God to cleanse you right now. I did this up in Virginia, and I had people throwing cigarettes up on the... right up here, cigarettes. I had people throw drugs and pills right up on the front. Things that had a hold on their life. You know what? I didn't judge them. Every one of us in this room, we've had areas where we've been held bondage. You can break free. You can break free. That's the good news. Jesus didn't slap the woman caught in adultery, forgave her. Sent her out with the power to go and sin no more. I'm going to open that up right now. If you've been addicted to cigarettes, or if you have prescription drugs that have just had a bondage on your life, I want you to get them out of your purse, out of your pocket right now. Throw them right up here. Is anybody at all qualify in that area? I'm telling you, this is your day of deliverance. Don't come up to me after the meeting and ask me to pray for you. I'm not going to do it. Now's the time for the anointing. Right now. Right now. Anybody at all? Anybody at all held in bondage to cigarettes? All right, here's a pack right here. I'm a preacher with a pack of cools, and we're throwing them right down there. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Prescription drugs? Put them out up here. We're not going to embarrass anybody. We don't judge you. There's some drugs there. She's on her knees. There's others. The person who threw those cigarettes up here, come up here and just catch a knee. Find an altar right here. Anybody else? Anybody else? Quickly, right now. This is a jubilee meeting. This is a time of being set free. Nobody judges you. There's some things that you need to throw up here that you can't throw up here. Some of you have been on the internet looking at pornography and you can't throw that up here. You need to. Some of you have been watching the wrong kind of movies. You need to throw that up here. Some of you have magazines. You need to go home and you don't even need to look at them. You need to throw them away, burn them. I don't know. Just get rid of them.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Janie, I want you to come and minister to this young lady. Somebody minister to this fellow here. One of the leaders in the church. Come over here and minister to him. Folks, God's moving. I mean, I want to go to lunch, but I don't want to go to lunch that bad. Hallelujah. When God's moving, let's begin to pray right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.